もうクラウドになったかい？ファイナルファンタジー7
コンビニで？
Welcome to another exciting episode of Pretentious Internet Theater, the show that is 99 1/44% Vovozilla free. I am your host, Andrew Cook. Tonight, a Final Fantasy epic crossover like no other, in which the author Moonlight Bomber has brought together Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9 and 10 into an epic tale in which they fight the tyrant Osama bin Laden. In fact, that reminds me of a quote by Samuel Adams. How strangely will the words of a tyrant pervert the plain meaning of words. Look up who he is, and then look up the meaning of the word irony. Before we get started with our story, I would like to remind you that you can find this podcast on iTunes, Pretentious Internet Theater, and that you can email me at thepitpodcast@gmail.com if you have any story suggestions or feedback. Now, without any further ado, let's get on with our story, The Most Ominous Threat, Osama bin Laden, by Moonlight Bomber. Enjoy. Pretentious Internet Theater proudly presents The Most Ominous Threat, Osama bin Laden, by Moonlight Bomber. Chapter 1, Tranquility to Fear. Peaceful? That's one word to describe the world before this event. What event? Some sort of cataclysm. Like Kefka's? Yep. The event that temporarily took the world hostage. The event that proved a victory for the villains. The event that gave second thoughts about security. It's the World Trade Center disaster. What? Ah! The sound of intensive fear covered the rooms of four otherwise brave boys. The spiky-haired dude, the seed gunblade expert, the blonde monkey-tailed thief, the beach bum cum blitzball star. Instead of getting charged up for the day ahead, the four feel like they are wilted vegetables. Cloud suddenly woke up in his childhood home of Nebelheim, recovering from the unexpected shock that spoiled his sleep. That's strange. I just recovered from the mental disorder in the life stream. Is that nightmare Sephiroth's final revenge against me? Just then, some other voice entered his room. Hey, you forgot your breakfast. Tifa? Good morning, Cloud. Is something bugging you? Nothing. But look at you. You feel like the way you were back in Medeal. You know my dream? No, but I sense a great danger coming to us. Is it of this world? No, it is of another world. Hey, did you acquire your sensing powers from Eris? No, it's just that I didn't know it was there. Squall moves and jerks his body during sleep and mumbles the following thoughts. The world is at peace. Altissima's gone. But why did I see the images of two towers being destroyed by two airplanes? Those towers were not of this world. And Golbadia has no plans of building tall buildings. What is this? He wakes up in his dorm at Bullum Garden, shocked. He then walks outside in a naturally and lousy way while being greeted by his buddies. Yo, Squall, get yourself some exercise. You look so clumsy. It was Zell. Hi, Squall. Don't be like a turtle. Cheer up. It was Selfie. Hey, Squall. You don't look like a seed when you act like this. It was Quistis. Squall, you seem like you've woke up on the wrong side of the bed. It was Irvine. Squall, good morning. Your morning seems to be bad. What's the matter? It was Rinoa. And Squall's response to the five? Nothing. He just continues his walk to the cafeteria for his breakfast. Zidane, now the king of Alexandria, has good feelings he felt in his dream until that dark image boggled his mind later. Towers? Destruction? Airplane? Terrorist? No! Then he wakes up shouting, which also woke up Queen Garnet. Zidane, what happened to you? Said Garnet, as she approached the traumatized Zidane. Never said a word from the exhaustion he got from shouting. What? You had a nightmare? Guards, call Regent Sid immediately! Garnet alarmed. Some time later, Regent Sid and Zidane's friends went to the castle to check on him. This is terrible, Queen Garnet, Sid worried. King Zidane is now suffering from extreme trauma mixed with sadness, the same disorder that affected you before. What? This can't be, Garnet said. Never in my lifetime did I see something as shocking as what happened last time, Steiner added. You suffer nightmare? Quinta interrupted. No good food will cure nightmare. The others worry in silence. Titus, despite his cheery outlook, seemed to act strange this morning. He gets all the symptoms described earlier. Clumsy actions, sadness, sudden negative feelings. Here's why. At his home in Zanakarkand, he wakes up in a slow, grotesque manner, as if a zombie or vampire woke up from a grave. He then greets his family, friends, and neighbors in a monotonous voice. He then slowly walks into the table while waiting for breakfast. And when Eunice serves him his favorite breakfast, his face falls flat into the table. Titus, you fainted! Is this some kind of a curse? Eunice exclaimed. You will soon see my wrath. A wrath greater than the foes you fought before. A wrath hell-bent on destroying so many innocent lives. A wrath that will bring me satisfaction. A wrath that is terrorism. Mwahahahahahah! End of chapter. Chapter 2. Undeniable Escape. To conquer the impending evil, you and your friends must leave your world and go to the world called Earth. A world of contradictions, a mix of utopia and dystopia. Your powers await the ailing people's help against a big force of terror. So commence! Hey, I just heard something inside my mind, said Cloud, who had just finished his breakfast and is now on his way to a seminar to be held in Calm. All of his friends await him outside his home, and by the way, his mind was cleared when he heard the message. What'd you heard from your mind? Barrett asked. It says something like this. Leave this world and save a planet called Earth from... how do I say this? Terrorists? Cat Seath replied. Yeah, you're right. And this soon-to-be mission to be successful, we must all complete, as in... Complete? What the pound sign, dollar sign, percentage sign? Eris is no longer with us, Sid ranted. Yeah, that's the only problem. So what's the solution, anyone? Red 13 then proposed. I think we must consult Bergenhagen again, Tifa questioned. What's he gonna do? Cast life? Red 13 answered. No, Eris's death is not ordinary. We must ask him to find the ultimate revival product. If Eris is revived, then we will use a teleportation device. And kick the terrorist's butts? But, will I get, like, paid? Yuffie responded. Oh, man, you're always thinking about money. What's wrong with you? Vincent interrogated. And their game plan is set. Cloud commands his friends to find Bergenhagen and ask him about the ultimate revival item and a teleportation device. After that, he leaves them for Calm, all prepared for the seminar. Squall, upon hearing the message in his mind, resumed his poise and posture. Then he walked out of the cafeteria, puzzled. He thought, another seed job, and now it's on and another planet. Being the leader, I might be ready, because so much experience beforehand. But I think of something... until the next enemy be more powerful than Ultima Sia. Then he bumped into Selfie, while walking near the classroom. "Hey, Squall, you're doing a repeat. And look at you. You're no longer clumsy. What happened?" Something spoke inside my mind. It said that we six must leave this world and prepare to fight a merciless terrorist from another world. That means we're going into another seed mission? Yeah, call our buddies. We'll have a meeting with the headmaster in 0900 hours. Zidane suddenly hears the message in his mind. Then his silence breaks. The attendants are surprised. "Zidane, I mean your majesty, are you okay? Can you speak now?" one of Vivi's sons exclaimed. "Ooh, my head. Now that I can speak, I must owe that to someone speaking it to my mind," Zidane replied. "Zidane, what did that anonymous person say?" asked Regent Sid. "It said, leave our world and save another one from a terrorist or something like that. That's all?" asked Eiko. "Going to another mission. We don't have any advanced technology," Amara doubted. "Don't worry, my fair-hearted friends," boasted Regent Sid. "With my scientific and technological expertise, I can construct an airship that will warp us to other worlds." Armant is now silent. "This can take some months, but with your cooperation, the construction time will be shortened. So let's begin." And Zidane and company went off to Lindblom for the airship construction. The name of the new airship? Invincible 2. Titus, still dazed, is brought to Grand Maester by his friends. By the time the Maester faced Titus, the latter suddenly woke up. "My child, you suddenly woke up. What is the matter?" asked Mika. "Ah, Grand Maester Mika." Author's note, still pronounced as Mika, said Titus as he woke up. Well, let me read that again. Maeka. Okay. "My child, you suddenly woke up. What is the matter?" asked Mika. Which is totally, never mind. Leave that. "Do not call me that. Anyway, Titus, why have you suddenly woke up?" "Some unknown being spoke to me. He said that we must leave Spira and save a planet called Earth from a terrorist as mean as sin." "As mean as sin? This will be a long journey," Auron responded. "Although, I'm a fully-fledged summoner. I still don't know any Aeon that can warp us," complained Yuna. "Maester, do you know of anything that can warp us into Earth?" Riku asked. "Nothing." "There might be an unknown person in all of Spira that can wield such power," answered the Maester. No. Don't count me in," Lulu interrupted. While the four teams pondered on their next actions, the Al-Qaeda and Taliban goons are preparing to wipe the international forces and the Northern Alliance out the face of Afghanistan and eventually the Middle East back on Earth. Two rising rival groups, so many game plans, so little time. The Earth will never be the same again. End of chapter. Chapter 3. Into the Realm. "You mindless people are truly pathetic, defending that thing called peace. It is but a shadow of death that dies with the ones that are advocating it." Tifa, being the leader of Cloud's team in his absence, brought her friends and Bergenhagen into the Forgotten Capital, desperately finding a way to revive Eris and warp to Earth. "Ho, ho, ho! It's the second time I visited this place," said Bergenhagen. "And it's my second time to be the leader. But I feel something bad will happen," Tifa worried. "Whoa," Barret asked. "We won't find the revival item, nor the portal, considering that we don't understand all the ancient inscriptions." "Ho, ho, ho! There is one last resort to this problem," Bergenhagen interrupted. "Only one person will transcript the ancient writings for us. He is... I am Weasel? I am Weasel? That genius Weasel with the dumb baboon sidekick? Holy dollar sign... carrot... ampersand... asterisk!" Sid exclaimed. Yeah, just a little aside here. Usually I bleep out the swears, because as I've taught you, that's funnier. However, the author took it upon themselves to censor their own characters, so we're just going to go with beeping, because that's a bit of a mouthful whenever Sid talks. I am Weasel? That genius Weasel with the dumb baboon sidekick? Holy Sid exclaimed. The others are awed. When they keep silent, as Berg and Hagen chant something that will summon the weasel and the baboon into their world. And as expected, and that makes one of us, I am Weasel and IR Baboon appeared in the flesh in front of Berg and Hagen and company.
Where are we, my reliable pal? Weasel asked Baboon.
I think we are in other world, and IR do not know these people, Baboon answered.
Berg and Hagen approaches Weasel and Baboon. Ho, ho, ho! You must be I am Weasel and I are Baboon. Weasel replied,
You are Santa Claus?
No, I am Bergenhagen. Behind me are the people who want to go to the planet called Earth.
Earth? It's me and Baboon's planet.
Well, here are they. Ho, ho, ho! While Baboon toys around the forgotten capital, the first batch of heroes introduce themselves. Author's note.
The introduction part is boring, since by the time you'll read this, you're an FF fan, so I'll skip it.
And when Tifa introduced herself, Baboon turned around to see her.
Ah, I are fascinated. That girl, I are going to marry her.
He's really fascinated. He drools all over while hearing her angelic voice and seeing her attractive body. Then he performs his trademark dance around the area while shouting,
I are marry her! I are marry her!
Hey, Baboon, why are you drooling all over? Weasel pondered.
Weasel, I think he's going bananas over Tifa, Red 13 answered.
Baboon, stop fantasizing about Miss Lockhart!
Weasel shouted, while pulling Baboon out of Tifa's sight.
And anyway, Mr. Bergenhagen, why have you summoned us?
Weasel asked. Ho ho ho! We summoned you so that you can read the inscriptions over there, pointing to the center of the shrine for us, and eventually revive a dead woman and warp us to your world.
Who is this woman?
Eris Gainsborough. The last of a race called the Cetra, or the Ancients.
Well done. Then wait while I put away Baboon from the girl's sight, and then we will start with the inspection.
The whole team inspected the inscriptions, with Baboon now locked in a steel cage, when Cloud suddenly arrived. Cloud, why are you, like, here? Yuffie asked. Seminar's been postponed to give way to an autograph signing with The Rock, Cloud answered. I'm not a big fan of wrestling, so I left Calm, called a taxi, and went here. Ho ho ho! Thank God you arrived, Cloud. You see, I brought two persons from a planet called Earth to inspect the inscriptions and find a way to...
You know, Bergenhagen told Cloud.
Who are they? On the left is I am Weaselin. On the cage over there is I are Baboon.
Mr. Weasel caught Mr. Baboon because of fantasizing over Tifa.
Cloud then approached the two persons and introduced himself. After that, he looked closely at what Weasel is doing.
This really is the most exquisite script I've ever seen in my entire life. Anyway, the inscriptions say that we need an item called the Mega Phoenix to revive Eris. And for the portal, we'll need the confidential Sinra document and three rarest materia in the world to open it.
Weasel said, No problemo, I am. I'm a Shinra employee, and I can fax a document for you, added Cat Seath.
Yeah, but watch out for you consequences of you actions, you damn cat,
Barret interrupted. But how about the Mega Phoenix and the three materia? I don't think we have them, Vincent worried. The three materia? They are, like, in my, like, house, Yuffie said.
We don't have any time left. We must get going, Cloud commanded. Then the team goes to work. The boys search the areas for the Mega Phoenix. Cat Seath calls for Shinra HQ for a confidential document to be faxed, and the girls go to Watai to get the rare material apparently hidden in Yuffie's house. Knights of the Round, Quadra Magic, and Mime. After 2.5 hours...
Very good, my brave-hearted friends. You have found the necessary ingredients. All we have to do is revive Eris. Cloud, will you do the honors? Stated Weasel.
Of course. The whole team then goes to the body of water where Eris is buried. Baboon, as always, is left behind in the cage, wondering what will happen next. Cloud, clutching the Mega Phoenix, walks to the exact spot where Eris is buried. He then hurls the thing into the air and shouts, Master of Rebirth, breathe new life into the body of a girl who had never had the joys of a woman. Ultra life! A shining column of light then appears from the sky and immediately penetrates the crystal blue water. Moments later, the holographic image of Eris appears in the spot where the light penetrated. It suddenly walks over the water, coming closer to Cloud and Co. Then, the image's feet touch the ground, transformed into the new, improved, revitalized author's note.
Man, looks like I'm advertising a product.
Eris. Cloud is struck with awe as he sees Eris in the flesh. He hastily runs towards her and then embraces her. The two tightly hug each other and shed tears of joy afterwards.
Eris, you're back. I missed you so much. Cloud, I missed you too. Now that Sephiroth and Genova are gone for good, let us share our brand new moments together. Yeah, I'm glad to hear the news. And after that fiasco, do you still love me?
Certainly. Author's note.
I'm showing no prejudice towards the advocate for the Cloud Tifa love stream, period.
Oh, that's good to hear. But how did you revive me?
I used a rare revival item on you, and did it on purpose.
What purpose? We've got to stop a terrorist from wreaking havoc on a planet called Earth. Another villain? And what's the reward?
I'll marry you.
Oh, Cloud, that sounds much better than me having moved on to my final reward and being with Zack and part of the life stream and helping you as a character and the rest of your party build up and experience life and loss, which is part of life.
That's not part of the story.
I'll marry you.
Oh, thank you.
Cloud and Eris then close their eyes and position their lips ready to kiss. Their lips draw closer and closer until Weasel shouted,
Mr. Strife, Miss Gainsborough, the portal is open. We must hurry. There's no time to lose.
We'll save our kiss for later, Cloud said to Eris. After all, those terrorists that we'll face are extremely conservative. PDAs are eyesores for them.
Well, then I'll put away my BlackBerry.
Again, not in the story.
He then turns around and says, Excuse me, Weasel. How will you release Baboon from the cage?
I will tell him that he must not fantasize the girls. They are beautiful, but they can kick butt too.
The whole group then rushes into the portal and are sucked inside. The portal then vanishes. Who knows where on Earth they will land? Squall and Co. currently hold a meeting with the headmaster of Balamd Garden.
Squall, what is the purpose for leaving this world, you say? Asked Sid.
Sir, we must eliminate a terrorist on a planet called Earth, Squall replied.
Well, this mission will be the same as in Dolette, but the problem is the method of teleportation.
Sar is good at advanced technology like that, sir.
We can meet Dr. Odine right away.
Good. Now pilot the Ragnarok, and don't forget to invite Laguna, Kyros, and Ward. That will make a total of 9 personnel for this mission. Meeting dismissed.
And as Squall and Co. leave the headmaster's office, his buddies have mixed thought on the forthcoming mission.
Yeah, time to kick terrorist ass, Zell said enthusiastically.
But I feel something bad, Renoa worried.
I might turn into a Scorceress again when I meet the Doctor.
Don't worry, Renoa, Squall replied. Alta Messia is gone, so you'll be fine.
Irvine startles the group with his question.
Will our enemies be as tough as those Galbadian soldiers?
Man, it's so hard to answer, Selphie stated.
It's because we don't have any info on the terrorists on Earth yet, Quistis added.
The group then boards the Ragnarok, flies off to Eftah.
They plan to meet Dr. Odin first, and then they will escort him to Prez Lorin.
As they journey through the streets of Eftah, there's no sign of monsters. The reason is that there is no unexpected lunar cries, because the lunatic Pandora is now inactive. They arrive at last Dr. Odin's lab. His assistant recognizes and greets them. Afterwards, he takes them to the doctor himself.
Oh, how nice of you to come, Dr. Odin salutated them.
Vel, what service can I offer you?
Doctor, we badly need a teleportation device to go to a planet called Earth, Squall answered. We have a mission to eliminate the terrorists there.
Very good. I have a teleportation device right before I constructed the research on the sorceress. Wait a minute, I will be back with the device.
Squall and Co. stand while waiting for the device. While doing so, the brains of the mission pondered.
I think the answer to Irvine's question earlier is, the terrorists are tough. They all use merciless methods to sow terror everywhere. It's in the name.
Dr. Odin arrives at the place where the group waited, carrying a large oval mirror with electronic thingies attached to its frame.
Phew! This is so heavy, Odin said. But anyway, one push of the button and voila! You're transported!
Thanks, Doc. But we won't walk to Earth unless we join Laguna and Co. with us, Squall stated.
Oh man, I know that it is required by the headmaster of your garden, right?
Right. Now please take me to Laguna. Squall, his friends, and Odin, with a device, then drive to the presidential palace, where they are welcomed by the palace staff until they go to the office of the president.
Good to see you again, Squall, Laguna greeted.
Doc, how's life?
Well, Mr. President, Squall and company want to join you, Kiros and Ward, into their mission on the planet called Earth to eliminate the terrorists there.
The Odin replied.
Here is the teleportation device to be used.
Well, I'm engaging into combat again. Guess it's time to become soldiers again, right? Kiros, Ward, Laguna asked. After all, we helped them in their dreams, Kiros answered. And it's good to pay back the kindness we gave them. Ward, still mute, gives a smile of approval.
We don't have time left. Irvine, activate the portal and let's go, Quistis commanded.
Yeah, I'm itching to kick ass, Zell responded.
Irvine immediately presses the button on the device. Portal appears. Squall, Laguna, the rest of the gang leaped into the portal. Moments later, it disappeared.
Have a safe journey, people, Odin said. Will I be the temporary president for now?
Zidane and company, with Sid's assistance, are now busy in building the new airship. With a strong work ethic that they learned after defeating Kuja and Necron, they finish it in just 2 days.
Whew, it's like we're building Noah's Ark, Zidane tiringly said.
Yeah, but at least we are done already, Regent Sid replied. Now the whole team is complete.
Wait a second, Vivi disappeared, and in his place his sons appear right here. How do we handle this? Steiner interrogated.
Let us name the eldest son Vivi Oruntana Jr., and his next in line brothers will be named VV3, VV4, etc., etc.
What a dumb naming proposal it is! It will breed confusion,
Verve explained.
Yeah, but at least we're involving Vivi in the fight against the terrorists, so there.
Zidane and company then boards the Invincible 2. Sid and his assistants wait outside the dock.
What does this new airship look like? The airship's design duplicates the original, but it has airplane engine-like devices that activate a large portal.
Start main engine, Sid commanded.
The main engine roars in full glory. Activate portal controls. A large portal appears in Lindblom.
just as huge as the Eidolon Ultimos when it attacked the city proper. Sail for main destination, Earth! The Invincible Two then moves towards the portal. The latter sucks the former like a vacuum cleaner. May you have a safe trip, and bring me some souvenirs, too, one of Sid's assistants reacted. Hey, those terrorists carry deadly weapons from the future. What do? Use them to conquer other kingdoms? Whoop! Those terrorists are not really gift-givers! Titus and his buddies wander around Spira to find a person who would warp them into Earth. They are nearly exhausted until a band of El Baid bandits, apparently the friends of those who kidnapped Yuna, meet them. The bandit leader said in the El Baid language, "Hey, you guys, surrender everything you have or Ensign will kill you." Riku heard the message and translated it for the rest of the group. Waka yelled, "We won't give our stuff to you. In fact, we've defeated the curse of Yvonne, so beat it, you knuckleheads." Riku said Waka's message in El Baid. The leader reacted. "Well, we'll see about that," he said in El Baid, then kicked Kamari's shin.
"Ow! You'll pay for this!" Kamari shouted.
His furies then burst and pummel the bandits mercilessly. A thick cloud appears, covering much of the action. Kamari soon grows tired of beating them, and the cloud disappears. And you know who are those bandits? They're really the Backstreet Boys. "Enough of fighting," Nick Carter said. "We pretended as El Baid bandits, so we will defeat our rivals in sync, who reportedly joined a blitzball team." Titus asked, "Abes or Oruches?" AJ McLean answered, "I think it's Abes." "What? This is so controversial," Titus exclaimed. "Ha ha, those guys don't know blitzball," Waka teased Titus. "Now my team will win at last." "Shut up," Titus reacted. "Hey, if you want to join us, then go to Zonarkid Stadium," Brian Luttrell explained. "It's Apes versus Arukis there." Titus and Waka face off, and you can feel the sparks between their eyes. "Hey, you two, stop staring like that and get going," the two remaining members, Kevin Richardson and Howie Darrow, yelled. Titus and his buddies and the Backstreet Boys then mosey on to the stadium. They can feel the capacity crowd upon entering the stadium. The big game is sure to have some big rivalry. Titus versus Waka, Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC. And that game starts. You can really feel the heat of the blitzball action underwater. Author's note,
I really didn't play FF10, so I don't know much about blitzball. Sorry, guys.
Later, Titus and Waka have been assigned as passers for each team before the start of the next period. They rattled and rambled and taunted each other. Then, the inevitable happens. A dummy of a sin spawn, operated by none other than Mariah Carey, appears in the water, facing Titus and Waka. The dummy casts a fake version of Gravitia on the two, sucking them into the black globe. Now the black globe, created by the fake Gravitia, grows bigger and bigger, and eventually covers the playfield. Yuna and the others are wondering and worrying where Titus and Waka are. They believe that the black globe sucked Titus and Waka, so they leapt in there. And you know, that black globe's really a portal to Earth. Any questions? Brave heroes gather round in the mountainous regoins of a country called Afghanistan. Here you will fight those meddling terrorists. Good luck on your bout! End of chapter. Chapter 4. Trekking and Trudging. Feeling lost? Come to God and you won't get lost. Cloud and Co. suddenly appear on the snowy white area. They see a sign that says, South Pole, 300 kilometers ahead. Not again! We landed on a damn snowfield! That Lady Luck, Sid cursed.
Not to worry, my friends.
I have a thorough knowledge of the South Pole and the Antarctic area, Weasel explained. With my GPRS-enabled GPS-PDA and cell phone hybrid, we can get out of the snowy region and into your destination. He then brings out the aforementioned device and activates it and explains, It says to get to your destination. What is your destination, Cloud?
Afghanistan, I think, Cloud replied.
All right, to get to Afghanistan, we must go northwest to arrive at the southern part of Argentina. Then we will go to Buenos Aires, the capital of the said country, and hitch a ride on an aeroplane, heading for Pakistan. Then we'll sneak into Afghanistan, because the two are neighboring countries. That's all.
But the people of this world do not accept gil of currency, Red 13 worried. So how do we exchange our gil for your international currency?
Good question. If possible, we can meet a trader and exchange your gil for the U.S. dollar, the international currency here on Earth.
Will we ever see traders in a snowy area like this? Tifa interrogated. And enough of your explaining. We're going to be frozen popsicles here. We must move out. Brr. Tegroup then moves out with the help of Weasel's GPS device. But an hour later, they pass out. Later, they wake up at a wooden house. They are later greeted by a strange man.
Good morning, travelers, the man said. My name's Hero. You're Hero from Lunar 2? Holy... I'm getting enough of these meddling outsiders.
God damn it, Sid shouted.
Stop cursing, man, Hero stated. It's a threat to morality. By the way, you were passed out about 5 kilometers away from my house, so I had no choice but to bring you to my house right here.
Why?
We were trying to get out of Antarctica and get into Afghanistan to fight the terrorists there, Cloud explained. He then introduced himself and his friends to Hero. He continues, Oh, by the way, how do you live here in this place?
Well, I found Lucy on the Blue Star. She had mysteriously vanished. Then some strange voice said that she's on some cold place on this planet Earth. So I used the teleporting pendant of hers to go here. And knowing that this plane is so cold, I found an abandoned house that is now my home.
Good to hear that, Cat Seath said. We want to go to Afghanistan, but the currency from our world, Gil, isn't acceptable here.
Can you trade our Gil for U.S. dollars?
Sure. I trade it with other travelers in Antarctica. I give them dollars for their trinkets that I receive. Now, please hand over your gil, and I'll convert them.
Everyone except Weasel and Baboon, who had their own dollars, then trades their gils for dollars.
Thanks, Hero, Cloud said. We don't have time left. We must go. Goodbye.
Have a safe journey, said Hero, as he waves his hands to the leaving party. Now the group heads for Argentina. After 2 days of non-stop walking, they finally arrive at the Buenos Aires International Airport.
Cloud, I think I and Baboon must part ways with you, Weasel said. I still have some scientific research to attend to, so I will bid you goodbye.
Baboon then said,
I are having fun traveling with you, and I want to kiss Tifa goodbye.
Shut up, fool, Barret shouted. Don't go kissing your funny ass to our lovely lass, so beat it.
Yeah, so like, kiss me instead, Yuffie interrupted.
But her real intention is to steal Baboon's money.
We have no time for kissing, Baboon, Weasel interfered. Good luck on your fight against the terrorists. Farewell.
Weasel and Baboon then leaves to a different area of the airport, never to be seen.
Wow, it must be a long journey, huh? Eris questioned.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning. The big evil will be just ahead of us, Vincent responded. Cloud and Co. then purchase their tickets, waits for the Pakistan-bound plane, rides it, and they're off.
Squall and his buddies suddenly materialize right in the office of the CIA chief.
The chief is astonished. Hey, who are you and what are you doing?
Squall, thinking that the intelligence head honcho is a military man, abruptly salutes him.
Sir, see Private First Class Squall Lionheart reporting for duty, sir, he said.
His friends then salutes and gives their ranks and full names, all saying they are reporting for duty. The chief then said,
Hey, I don't know that Seed thingy.
Sir, we are from another world, sir,
Quistis reported.
Sir, we are on a mission to eliminate the terrorists in Afghanistan, sir.
Well, you want to fight the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, don't you? The chief responded. Then go to the Pentagon. You will have a short training there, since you are all foreign military personnel.
Sir, yes, sir, the whole team answered.
As directed,
by the CIA chief, Squall and Co. go to the Pentagon, but a few miles away, they see smoke emanating from the U.S. military HQ.
"There must be a fire," Irvine said. "Let's do the natural thing, helping."
So they quickly respond and help the struggling firefighters douse out the flames. And, after 15 minutes, the whole fire is gone. Just then, the U.S. Secretary of Defense arrives at the fire scene. He reacted, "Very good. You have put out the flames totally. I give my thanks to those 9 civilians who helped the firefighters. As a reward, I will turn them into Green Berets." Laguna is surprised by the secretary's decision. "Oh, just for putting out that fire, we get promoted?"
"Hey, respect his decision," Sophie interrupted. "At least he's giving us a chance."
Later, the secretary gives a surprise press conference to formally promote the strangers as full-fledged Green Berets. At the point where they are made to wear Green Berets on their head as a sign, they react.
"Hey, sir, why would you let us wear those strange hats, sir?"
Quell questioned. "Sir, we would be happy if we just keep those berets as souvenirs, sir," Renoa added. "If it is your wish, it's your wish. But remember, obey first before you complain," the secretary said.
"Sir, yes, sir,"
the whole team responded. The press conference ends, and the team is made to ride a C-130 plane heading for where else? Afghanistan. It's what the secretary wished for. Meanwhile, Zidane and Co., plus the Invincible 2, appear at the deserted remote island. This island belongs to none other than the Marquise Islands, the site of the 4th Survivor Challenge.
"Man, I think we've landed in some remote place," Zidane said. "I don't think we can go to Afghanistan in this situation." "You, monkey, we have the airship still intact," Steiner reacted.
"So going there is as easy as slicing a dead bug in half."
"We've got no other choice," Aiko demanded, "so let's go."
Then the Invincible 2 throttles in full glory. It sails over the land and over the sea until...
"What? The airship's falling?"
everyone wondered. And it splashes right into the Indian Ocean.
"Looks like we'll paddle our way through Saudi Arabia," Freya said.
Following Freya's proposal, the group decimates some of the airship's wooden parts to serve as paddles. Afterwards, they slowly S-L-O-W-L-Y sail their way to the KSA. It took them 5 days to accomplish that.
"Phew, this is so tiring," Vivi Jr. complained.
"And even harder is the entry to Afghanistan," Aramont added. "Not only the Arabs don't accept strangers, but also suspects them of being Israeli supporters."
"Despite their own complaints, they forced their way into most of the Middle East. Because of Zidane's stealth abilities, they luckily sneak into Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Iraq, Iran, and finally Afghanistan. And after their second ordeal, they rest in the western Afghan town wondering.
Are the terrorists products of the mist?"
"Well, Titus and Co. are the luckiest of the four groups. You know why? They landed right smack into the Tora Bora Mountains in Afghanistan. But little do they know that they face immediate danger."
"Are we in Afghanistan?" Titus wondered. "Only Waka is with him since they arrived first."
"Hoo boy, now let's forget the Blitzball rivalry," Waka reacted.
"You're right."
"Why? Watch out for those bombs!"
They run for their lives as a B-52 bomber scatters small but terrible bombs all over the mountain range. Luckily, they avoid the bombs and gunshots they encounter on their way. They later arrive on a camp, with a sign in front boldly showing the following: United States Army, Camp Rhino, Charlie Company, Camp Justice for America. We, the people of the United States, are going to kick your ass.
Are we the ones who are pointed here in the sign? Waka asked.
Yes, Titus agreed. Seconds later, some U.S. Marines point their M16s at them.
Surrender peacefully, and we'll send you two to jail, one of them said.
Afterwards, the Marines send Titus and Waka to the camp's prison cell in a military cadence-like fashion. There, they meet not only Yuna and the others, but Cloud, Squall, Zidane, and their respective buddies.
What fate awaits the 34, possibly more, heroes?
Justice is not brought alone by might. Cecil's Dark Side, FF4, Chapter 5, Finding the Boss.
Author's note.
Sorry if this update gets late. It's because of school.
Yuna, I thought you were transported into some far place. I really never want to go to a place alone since I was sucked to Spira, Titus said with a sigh of relief.
That's okay, Titus. We're still in one piece. Now the two main things that we should worry about are our imprisonment and those people over there whom we don't know, Yuna replied.
Meanwhile, Cloud, Squall, Zidane, and their buddies worry of another threat, death penalty. Since they've been in prison at least once before, they are used to being in jail. They introduce themselves and talk about their fate. Let's hear their conversation.
Cloud. Oh, man, this is the second time that I've been in jail.
Zidane. But mind you, my former prison cell was more dangerous. Below the cell, it's no ordinary bubble bath. It's hot lava.
Squall.
You can't possibly beat me in terms of effected torture. I was electrocuted, you know.
Sighs.
Zidane. Electro what?
Squall.
Da, da, da. Zidane. You silent fart.
Quistis.
That's because you don't have advanced technology in your world, Zidane. If I get it right, the most advanced invention there is...
pauses. The steam engine?
Zidane got it right.
Titus and co. overhear their conversation and decides to butt in.
But
Sids
shouts, hey, you spies, you're overhearing our conversation. Get your candy out of here.
Titus,
hey, we're FF characters just like you are, so let us in.
Sid,
you said it right. Then join the club.
What are your names anyways?
Titus, I'm Titus, and this is Yuna, etc., etc.
Selfie, come join us. It's fun to talk.
Titus and co. join the rest of the group.
Eris, so how did you guys come here last?
Waka, well, after we appear in the mountain region, we dodge bombs and gunshots flying all over the place.
Titus,
then we saw a sign that said, USA will kick your butts or something like that. Some weird-looking soldiers then pointed their guns at us and sent us here in this prison.
Zidane, remember that this country that we are now is called Afghanistan,
right?
Red 13,
right. And our main objective is to eliminate a merciless terrorist.
Irvine, I wonder who he is.
Two U.S. Marines who are guarding the prison overhear their conversation and approach them afterwards.
Marine A, hey, you want to beat Osama bin Laden, don't you?
Cat C, who's that?
Marine A, the terrorist you're talking about? The one responsible for destroying the World Trade Center?
Cloud, Squall, Zidane, Titus.
Ah, I know. The two buildings blown up by two airplanes.
Marine B, correct.
So we realize that you're not terrorists at all.
Sorry for what we've done a while ago. We will tell our superior that you're not members of Al-Qaeda or Taliban.
Laguna,
Al-Qaeda?
Kiros,
Taliban?
Laguna and Kiros, what's that?
War, dot, dot, dot.
Marine B, those two pesky grumps associated with bin Laden.
Anyway, we'll release you all.
Tifa.
Whew, what a relief.
So we'll be released after all.
Marine A, especially pretty girls like you who wear sexy costumes.
Tifa, shut up, you pervs.
Quinta,
yeah, no harass sexy girls.
Marine B, just wait here and we'll release you in no time. The two Marines leave to inform their commander.
Vivi Jr.
Are those terrorists merciless like Kuja?
Zidane.
Yeah, they are. They even use weapons of mass destruction to achieve their evil goals.
Cloud. Do they use a Mako cannon?
Squall. Do they use missiles?
Titus.
Do they send out mechanical freaks?
Zidane.
Dot, dot, dot.
Riku.
I think Zidane's now Squall.
Chuckles.
Freya.
Sounds like personality exchange.
The two Marines come back.
Now you are free to go. Good luck on your fight.
Marine B.
And don't forget to support our comrades.
Yuffie.
Where, like, are they?
Marine A. They're everywhere. On land, sea, and air.
Marine B. Scram now, or else we'll send you back to jail.
Which you're already in.
Kamari,
let's go.
Then the whole group leaves the camp.
Feeling some confidence now that they are ready to face bin Laden, they run to the safe areas of the Tor Bor Mountains while dodging bombs and bullets. They do that for hours. Until one of the VVs faints.
VV-5, don't fall down like an unstable structure, shouted Siner.
The whole group then rushes Vivi into a very remote mountain range. There they use medicinal items and curing spells on the poor little black mage until he is fully recovered.
You had us worry much,
Lulu said breathingly. Yeah, we are almost blown out by the bomb because of you. Don't be a lousy ass next time, okay? Zell added. This is a big problem, guys, said Cloud. With our strange costumes that the Marines and the terrorists won't recognize, we'll be dead meat.
How do we get rid of those guns pointed at us? Barrett asked.
I know, Zidane answered. We'll disguise ourselves. Whom will we disguise, mister? Terrorist or counter-terrorist? Auron asked while pointing his big sword at Zidane. Heard of Northern Alliance? It's an Afghan anti-Taliban group. Problem is, the Northern Alliance fighters dress like Taliban and Al-Qaeda's fighters. So how do we get those costumes? We'll sneak up on those Taliban guys roaming around, snatch their costumes and wear them. That's it. But how about the girls? The Muslims don't deploy women into fighting, Rinoa said. Suddenly, a strange being approaches the groups while butt-walking. Hey, I know you. You're the red guy from Cow and Chicken, aren't you? Squall yelled. Hello.
Yes, it's me. Want some tips to keep alive from the dangerous Afghan environment? Said the red guy, who was wearing an Arab costume minus the pants.
Yes, the boys will snatch the Taliban's men's costume and wear them as disguises, but us girls can't wear any disguises.
What's the solution? Rinoa pleaded. Oh, don't worry, fair ladies. Ever heard of a burqa? If you don't know it, it's a woman's costume that covers the whole body except for the eyes.
Sounds like a perfect disguise, Aiko answered. The red guy then presents his long line of burqas. The burqas come in different colors and are made of various materials. Cotton, polyester, even nylon, he explains.
All of those burqas can be yours for only, drumroll, 1 million gil.
Gil? We don't have gil, just dollars, Cloud said.
Let's see. The exchange rate is $1.94 gil, so you'll pay $10,638.30.
Sorry, we don't have enough money, Vincent replied. We spent some of them riding an airplane from Argentina.
Okay, the price is now $5,319.35. It's 50% off.
Hey, you fat-ass guys. Give those damn burqas for free, Sid shouted.
Okay, I'm not really running a business here. I'm just a lost foreigner in a remote country.
Then the red guy gives all the burqas to the women. He then says, is that all? We think that's it. We are moving out. Bye, says the whole group to the red guy. Then he whispers,
do they really have the guts to fight that bearded, diaper-headed guy? I'm sure that they have. A big missile speeds its way into the pantless person.
And before he finishes his statement, the missile explodes. Then turns him into a black statue that will puzzle archaeologists in the future. After they leave the cave, the group transfers to a ruined house that was formerly a training camp for Al-Qaeda. Since it was bombed, they consider it to be a safe place for the ladies to change their costumes. Now you boys must stay here outside to guard us, and I'm saying it again, no peeking, Eris warned. While the boys lazily stare at the mountains for signs of attacks, the ladies change into their burqas. This burqa thing looks like a gown. It's okay for me, Garnet said. But look at me, when I wear this, it's kinda hot outside. Not good for me, Tifa complained. That's because you always wear skimpy outfits. You're like a sex symbol in this case, Una replied.
What sex symbol? Hey, you summoner, don't call me a prostitute either. I always value clean living, don't I?
Hey, Uni, I feel the same way Tifa does, Riku reacted. So that counts two sex symbols, Una told the rest of the girls.
Hey, don't call me a sex symbol or else I'll pummel you like no other woman does.
The rest of the girls either join Una or Tifa. Afterwards, they fight each other. Literally. As the fight gets longer, the boys notice the house.
Oh, no fight! We're burqa now, we late, Quinta appealed.
Author's note.
I consider Quinta as a he.
Hey, Eris said that we mustn't peek into the house, Cat Seath said. But we must check on the ladies if they wear their burqas already. We are waiting too long, Steiner said in a level tone. All right, but we'll be liable if we see the ladies bare naked, Laguna responded.
As the boys slowly approach the house, the fighting stops. There they see the ladies, naked. Author's note.
Or partially, I don't want the story to be rated R.
Ah! The boys shouted as the girls focused their fighting on the boys. Around the mountains into valleys, the girls continuously chase the boys, dodging whatever outside threat they see. They are mostly tired when they bump into a tall, dark being. He wears a gold-laced white suit and a head turban. He even sports the long, black-gray beard and the evil,
banal smile. It's Usama bin Laden, the whole group said, trembling. The fabled, most merciless terrorist who advocates a fake Islamic cause. The one who hates everything and anything American and Israeli, facing a band of heroes from four outside worlds. Will the impending battle become the fight of the century, or just a five-second suckfest?
To answer your question, see how much time's left on the podcast?
Keep your eyes peeled, and if you want to contribute through your reviews, please do so. The author will be glad to hear from you, so review now! End of chapter. Chapter 6, The Ultimate Battle, Part 1.
Author's note. The reason why this chapter took so long to update is because I want more reviews! Your help will be my pleasure.
Thanks. Mwah ha 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 ha. I don't know you yet, but I'm sure that you're all allies of those two pathetic countries, America and Israel, trying to challenge the great power of jihad. I sense in you a power I could feel. But no matter, in the name of Allah, I will vanquish you all. Those are the words of the big boss of Islamic fundamentalism, Osama bin Laden. The group still trembles and sweats under the hot Afghan sun. Vincent. Here it goes, everyone. Now get ready to face an evil once. Cloud, more merciless than Sephiroth. Squall, more ambitious than Sefer and Ada. Zidane, weirder and bolder than Kuja. Titus, and practically more grotesque than Sin. Tifa and Eris, no knowledge of love and peace. Rinoa, no respect for anyone else. Garnet, no real lease in life. Yuna, no real faith in the Almighty God. The rest of the team, so we'll totally eliminate you and your evil schemes. Steiner, commence. The rest of the team, attack. And the real battle begins. Author's note.
I'm making the fight with Osama a truly FF-based battle. That is, you'll see the stats and rants of friend and foe alike, so be prepared for surprises as the battle drags on. You'll love them, you know.
Bin Laden. Hee hee hee. You won't basically play with me yet. You'll play first with 100 of my best warriors, calls 100 Taliban and Al-Qaeda fighters. So enjoy your play with none other than death! Ha 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 ha. Vivi 3. Shrivels and fears. There's too many, Oran. But they're just ordinary schmucks.
Barrett, one big shot of them, and their asses are kicked.
Laguna, let's get it on. Garnet, wait a second, I have to scan those enemies first. Red 13, but it'll take too long for you to do that. Dagger, so? Thinks for too long. Sid, damn it, you slow princess. Just use my spare all materia and it's done. Searches his pockets, the materia is gone. Hey, Yufa, get my materia back, you Yuffie, dropped it. Sid, why you Frida, I'll go fetch the materia. Leaves battle area. Titus, get it fast. Those guys are ready to open fire at us.
All the fighters point their Kalashnikov rifles to one unlucky person, Selfie.
Fighters, Allahu Akbar, God is great. They fire their guns at once. Take off into space. And Selfie takes 9,999 damage. She dies. Squall, oh no! Selfie's killed instantly! Aiko, don't worry, boy, I'll do something. Aiko attempts to cast full life on Selfie, but gets fired first by the fighters. She also takes 9,999 damage and dies. Zidane, no, Aiko, not you! Steiner, use a phoenix down on her! Steiner, affirmative. The fighters open fire on Steiner. Steiner takes no damage thanks to his armor. Steiner uses Phoenix Down on Selfie. Selfie is revived, with 235 HP left. Steiner, I used it on the wrong person. Apologies, Zidane. Selfie, Quisty, use your Shockwave Pulsar while I deal with a little girl. Quistis, yes. Quistis cats Shockwave Pulsar. All the enemies deal no damage at all. Quistis, what? That was my most powerful technique. Bin Laden, we're immune to your flimsy blue magic.
Meanwhile, Selphie revives Aiko with 555 HP left, then casts full cure on his whole team. The whole team is now fully cured. Frida arrives at the materia. Frida.
Here, I got it! Garnet, catch!
Garnet catches the all materia and equips it. She then uses scan simultaneously on all the enemies. Here are the results. Osama bin Laden. HP, 10 million out of 10 million. MP, 10 million out of 10 million. Description, the world's most hated terrorist. Responsible for the September 11th attack on the World Trade Center and other similar attacks. Gathers powers from all the Final Fantasy's final bosses. Type, flying monster. Facts, no effect against all elements. Item in possession, nothing. Al-Qaeda fighter, times 50. HP, 2,000 out of 2,000 each. MP, 9,999 out of 9,999 each. Description, a militant Islamic student who got influenced by the jihad against America and its allies. Type, human. Facts, weak against poison. Item in possession, one elixir per individual. Garnet,
what? Bin Laden's more powerful than I thought.
Squall, if I remember right, Bin Laden has the power equal to 10 Omega weapons.
Zidane, his diaper head's too much for me.
Titus, gosh, he's more powerful than Sin.
Cloud, but don't worry, guys, we have lots of buddies with us.
For me, that Bin Laden guy's belly up.
Lulu, attention, focus first on the fighters.
Tifa,
why?
Lulu, remember when Titus and some of us fought Seymour and Wendigo? We squashed the Guido Guardians before those baddies. That gave us a sure win.
Do the same thing. Kill the fighters first.
Tifa, no, because I'm from a different game.
That's not in the story.
Zell, right. Zell then casts aura on himself, putting him in limit break status. He combos a Taliban fighter, then performs a My Final Heaven on all the Taliban fighters. 49 of them suffer 7,592 damage and die, while the remaining one suffers 15,375 damage total and dies too.
Zell, yeah, piece of cake.
Bin Laden, how can you kill my precious Taliban soldiers?
Ill revenge. I'll do something humiliating to you.
Bin Laden performs Ultra Charge, a move that lets him acquire one of FF's final bosses. In this case, he acquires Ultimacia's powers.
Bin Laden, now taste my hatred, Hell's Judgment.
The following have been hit by Hell's Judgment and now have 1 HP left. Zell, Tifa, Lulu, Cloud, Riku, Artemont.
Zell, how dare you? You use that powers.
Tifa,
Cloud, save me.
Lulu, if I can unleash my fury.
Cloud, Eris, save us.
Riku, if I can snatch those grenades.
Armand, die in Lonnie's name.
Zell, Cloud, and Armand team up to perform Merciless Pummel and Slash. Bin Laden has been hit 24 times with 54,396 damage. However, 6 Al-Qaeda fighters use their X potions to heal Bin Laden with a total of 60,000 HP. Bin Laden is now fully cured.
Lulu,
I told you to finish off those fighters first. You really have a short attention span.
Zell, this is how you really do it.
Lulu casts quadruple cast on herself, then casts Ultima 4 times on 4 Al-Qaeda fighters. The 4 enemies suffer 8,356 damage and die.
Riku whispers to Tifa,
hey, let's steal their grenades and toss them back at them.
Tifa whispers, wow, what a great idea. But we both have 1 HP left. We must watch out.
Yuffie, hey, join me. I know how to steal.
Zidane, me too. I'm a thief.
Riku, okay. Riku brings out a poster of Val Venus. And by unexpected chance, the poster comes to life. VB's theme plays. I'm no longer going to be surprised by any other crossovers I see in this story. Val Venus.
Hello, ladies. You need my help?
Riku. Please get me to the overdrive status.
Val Venus.
Sure.
Val then performs a sexual dance that makes Riku go crazy. Afterwards, Riku removes her upper clothing. After 5 minutes, Val finishes his dance, and Riku is now on overdrive. The screen picks some static. Then a man in blue, accompanied by The Rock, appears.
The Rock. Let me, the people's champ,
give you a word of advice from the creator, Hironobu Sakaguchi. H. Sakaguchi. My FF characters don't strip their clothes. Except for that one scene in Final Fantasy I, and the fact that there's a love hotel in Final Fantasy VII. But my FF characters don't strip their clothes, especially in battle. I'll punish the one that made Riku strip, and he's none other than Val Venus. Rock, go after him. The Rock. Yes, sir. And remember, Bin Laden, you'll ultimately smell what the Rock raises the people eyebrow. Is cooking. Leaves. Now back to regular programming. No, not regular programming, because we're running out of time. See you in the next phase of this ultimate fight against Bin Laden. End of chapter.
And thus, we have run out of time as well, and our tale comes to a close. But fret not, we will continue our story next episode on Pretentious Internet Theater. Just a reminder, you can email this podcast at thepitpodcast@gmail.com. Also, I would like to remind you that there is much drama on the internet, but only the best makes Pretentious Internet Theater. Good night, and the pleasure is all yours.